Everybody, I'd like to just start off. What we'll do is talk a little bit about our bill, how we got here, and then open up for questions at the end. I don't know everybody here, so if you, when we do questions, if you just tell me your name and who you're with, so I can kind of know where everybody's at. I want to first start off by thanking the House Republicans for last year for passing House File 95. And, you know, I think the reason I am grateful to them is because they took up this issue and pushed something forward and showed leadership on this issue. Now, the thing is, though, House File 95 was not my bill. And as you all know, the Secretary of State's office is allowed to propose legislation once a year. This is the first time that I'm able to do this. Being a newly elected Secretary of State, we weren't able to do that last year. And so this is our first time being able to come forward and present a bill that includes those things that we believe should be in it. I want to tell you a little bit how we got here and how we came to the process we took to put this bill together. I created an election advisory board made up of 5 Democrat and 5 Republican county auditors. And what we did is we took House File 95 and I sat down with them and asked them the things that they liked about it and the things they didn't like about it. And after talking to them, there were several concerns they had. One of those was with students and disenfranchising students, the elderly, people who don't have an ID, and they were also concerned about the costs of education in this bill, in previous voter ID bills throughout the state or throughout the country, and including House File 95. And so we sat down and we talked to them. And had a great discussion, a great opportunity. And we also visited all 99 counties and met with the auditors and talked to the other auditors and about these different concerns. So I want to briefly go over how our bill is different from House File 95 and how we resolve these concerns. First of all, our bill will be implemented over a 2-year period of time. So what will happen is those individuals who come to the polls who don't have an ID will still be allowed to vote just like they are now. But everyone will be given a flyer letting them know that in 2000 and whatever, depending upon when the legislature were to pass the bill, that they would be required to show a valid form of ID, and those valid forms of ID would be listed on that flyer. And we believe that this will be a way to educate voters and give them an opportunity to know what will be expected of them over when that 2-year period of time is up. The thing about it is, I always point back to when we talk about costs of same-day voter registration. When same-day voter registration, which was one of the most sweeping forms of election law in the last 20 years, came into place, the state of Iowa spent $50,000 for education. So these states that have spent millions of dollars, we don't believe that that'll be necessary by implementing this over a 2-year period of time. So we will avoid those kinds of costs for education. When it comes to students, our bill will allow student IDs as long as they have an expiration date from any Iowa high school or Iowa public or private college or university. That way, students will still be able to show their ID as long as it has a picture and an expiration date and let them vote. When it comes to the elderly, we've crafted several things to try and help those individuals who are in healthcare facilities who are not able who do not have an ID. And in those instances, those individuals, number one, if they are in a healthcare facility, they'll be able to sign an affidavit saying I am who I say I am, and they'll be allowed to vote. For those elderly who are not, we obviously will have a free photo ID as well as an attestation, which will allow somebody to attest for another person. But the key to this is it's just like same-day voter registration, but the change is that the person who will attest for the voter must have a valid form of ID and must show that. And both individuals will sign the same affidavit. And one person will be allowed to attest for only one other person per election. So as long as you have a valid photo ID, you can attest for another individual. This will allow, if I were to show up to the polls and my wife were to leave her purse at home, I could attest for her. Or if I had an elderly family member or an individual I knew, that I'd be able to go to the polls and attest for them. So we tried to create ways that would stay with the spirit of the law, so to speak, but still allow people to vote. we'll obviously have a free photo ID. And what will happen is, just like now, you can go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and get a government-issued ID. What will happen is the $5 fee for that ID will be waived. And so those individuals who need an ID will be able to go and obtain an ID for free. Those are the main differences between our bill. The forms of ID that will be permitted, we've already talked about student IDs. Any federal-issued ID or state government-issued ID will be permissible, as well as some local government IDs. We believe that by opening this up, I mean, the real point of this law is to make sure that you are who you say you are when you come to vote. And that's the point of this specific law. So I think what's important about this, about our photo ID law, and why I believe it'll be a model for the country, is because of the process we took. We got bipartisan support and bipartisan input when it comes to the things that went into the bill. And our hope is that we'll be able to bring this bill forward and that the state Senate will actually bring it up and have an honest discussion about it. This is something where we're not trying to disenfranchise people or keep people from voting. We want security and integrity in our elections, and that's the point of this bill. So at this time, I'd open up for any questions.
Secretary,
yeah. Well, I don't think that's the right question. I think the real question is who would really be against voter integrity. We looked at, I think a perfect example of this is what happened in the New Hampshire primary. We saw individuals who went in using video equipment and found people who died in the month of December. And they went to New Hampshire, and it's all on camera. And they asked for ballots for these individuals who had passed away. And in almost every instance, they were given a ballot. I think the one instance they weren't is because the poll worker knew the person who died. What's important is that we close a loophole. We can't prove that it's happening or that it's not unless we have video camera surveillance, which we do not have at the polls. And I think that is a perfect example of why we need it. And I tell you, I've been across the state, and most people ask me who would be against this bill. And we're really, you know, I think what's important is that we've taken input and we've tried to address these concerns about disenfranchising students, disenfranchising the elderly, about people who may show up to the polls without an ID. How do we deal with that? We have a provision as well for those individuals who are poor or who have a religious objection to having their picture taken. They can sign an affidavit saying that they are indigent or have a religious objection. And they'll be given a provisional ballot. The difference between our regular provisional ballot and this provisional ballot is any provisional ballot that has one of these affidavits with it will be automatically counted by the special precinct board unless somebody comes in to challenge it and gives enough evidence for the special precinct board to overturn it. So I think we're looking at everything we can to make sure that we have security and integrity without disenfranchising voters, which is why I think our bill will be the model for the country, and we'll be able to keep integrity without disenfranchising voters.
Likewise, putting in place a photo ID, doesn't that put another obstacle that would affect voter turnout? And do you think that the effect of possible lower turnout is a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it's not a good thing, but there's no evidence of that. You look at the states that have recently put a bill like this forward, Indiana and Georgia. We've seen voter turnout increase in the elections that came after. And so there is no evidence that there will be voter suppression or that there will be low turnout as a result. That evidence is actually the opposite when you look at those states. And that's why I think with our bill, especially because we've tried to take all these different considerations into place, that we won't have that problem.
You said that
yes.
It won't cost millions of dollars because of rolling it out early. Do you have any estimate on what it will cost, though?
Well, we, you know, last year with House File 95, it was the fiscal note was over $300,000 in terms of lost revenue to the Department of transportation because of the free ID. But because of the exceptions that we've put in and the way we've crafted it, we think that their assumptions were wrong and that that will be much less. But we'll see what number they assign to it. But in terms of the education portion of the bill, we believe that the cost will be nominal for a flyer. You know, I said this to a lot of auditors when we were talking about it, and that is, look, you give a politician a blank check to promote him or herself and their issue, what do you think they're going to do? So you look at these states who have spent millions of dollars, you know, I think there's a lot of things that could be said for that. We don't need to do that because we're going to implement it over a two-year period of time, which has not been the case in other states. Well, I should clarify that. I had bipartisan input. You know, we haven't asked any Democrats or Republicans to come out and support this bill publicly. We want this to go to the Senate. We want them to get their input as well. And our goal is to get bipartisan support. But we believe we can do that because we got bipartisan input. We were able to identify their concerns, and I believe we came up with solutions. I think that obviously there's always politics involved, and there's national people who are against this and talking points that may influence some auditors or legislators to vote no. But I really think you have to ask yourself, with the steps we took and the exceptions that we built into the bill, why would you vote no? Yeah, I'll tell you the Republicans and Democrats on my election advisory board. Tom Slockett from Johnson County, Joel Miller from Linn County, Eric Van Lanker from Clinton County, Marsha Carter from Shelby County, Roxana Moritz from Scott County. And I will point out, if you look at those lists of people, a lot of the Democrats that I put on that have very strong opinions against photo ID. This wasn't a sham. We really did go out and get this input. The Republicans are Ted Schoonover from Fremont County, Carol Robertson from Mills County, Ben Steinis up in Decorah. We have Scott Reniker from Jefferson County, and I listed 9 or 10. These are all auditors. These are all auditors. Am I missing somebody? Okay, I've got to go through my mind on who I have. Oh, Carla Becker. That's correct. So we, you know, we've got 5 Republicans and 5 Democratic county auditors from large counties, small counties, and with different perspectives. And that was the point of having that board. There's no report. It was a discussion we had. And one of the things that I thought was important is be able to have it as an oral discussion so that everybody could be very open and honest about their viewpoints. And so I promised those auditors that I wouldn't point them out specifically as to what they said or who said what. But like I said, I identified the 4 major areas that they had concerns with, and that's we tackled that problem. Well, I'm saying there's a hole in it, and we're seeing elections that are closer and closer and closer. Senator Danielson won his seat by 22 votes. Renee Schulte was by just, 13, or she lost by 13 votes, I think, the first time. I think Senator Chelgren had a real close race. And we saw, even though the Coxes are not elections, that was a very, very close election process, so to speak. And we are seeing our elections getting closer and closer and closer. And so we want to make sure that we don't have a situation that comes up where people are cheating and it is found out and it sways an election. And with the numbers being so close, it's a very possible thing to happen in the future. We want to keep that from happening. Why wait until it happens? We know there's a loophole. Let's close it. When I go to bed at night, I lock my door and I set my security system. I don't leave it open. You know, I care about the safety of my kids and my wife. And so, you know, we should care about having integrity in our elections, and we want to be able to close that loophole. Yeah.
In my conversations with some county auditors, the state association took trips to Indiana and Florida last year around this time to ask those states, which
Well, that will be done through administrative rules, and we'll have the input of the legislature. Our goal is to get this thing moving forward, and we'll obviously have the input of auditors, and we'll see if those situations come up. Our bill is very different from Indiana and Florida, and so I don't have a crystal ball to see the future and how it will have those kinds of impacts. But obviously, through administrative rules, we'll be able to identify those issues and deal with them as they come up. We'll start with the last question, same-day voter registration. There'll be small minor effects, most of which is that we will match the same requirements for an ID that would be in our ID bill will be in same-day voter registration. And the attesting clause that would be in the photo ID bill would also then apply to the same-day registration. So it wouldn't change significantly. When it comes to absentee ballots, as I talked to auditors and other people across the state, we already have two systems. This is for in-person voting and would not affect absentee ballots. One of my goals is to look at voter registration and absentee ballot system this year with our election advisory board and see. And I told the auditors as I went to every county, I said, one of the things I'd like to talk about as we discuss this further is I'd like you to look at our absentee ballot law. And if you like it, tell me why. If you don't, tell me why. And if you think it can be improved, tell me how. You know, I really want to get the input of the county auditors as we move forward with voter registration and as well as absentee ballots. So it would not affect those. Now, what was the other part of your question?
Any concern about legal challenges?
You know, I don't have any concerns. This has already been litigated all the way to the Supreme Court in Crawford versus Marion County Election Board. And, you know, Justice John Paul Stevens, who at the time was one of the most liberal Supreme Court justices, wrote the opinion and defended voter ID. And we believe with the exceptions and things we built into our bill, it'll make it very difficult to challenge because we've actually expanded it. But in terms of it's already been litigated, I'm not too concerned about it. Well, I think that's funny because then it accepts the premise that there are people cheating. So it's going to push people to not come to the polls because they'd have to show an ID.
Or if they don't have one, they just don't want to have to get one.
Well, we've got all these different ways to allow people to get an ID, and we believe most people have an ID. I don't believe that the Brennan Center's 11% applies to Iowa. You know, the Brennan Center said 11% of Americans don't have an ID. Yeah, they haven't looked at Iowa. I don't think that'll apply. And with the exceptions we have, it'll be a very limited number of people. I think those people who are saying that it's going to make people vote absentee must accept the premise then that people are cheating. And so, you know, we will tackle absentee ballots this year with our election advisory board and with the auditors. And if there are any things that can be improved, we will. But anybody who says that must accept the premise that people are cheating. And so I would challenge them on that.
But if they are indeed cheating, I mean, if that's happening, not saying that it is, I don't know, then is there not a problem in keeping the absentee from the way it is?
Absolutely. Then it shows a weakness in our current absentee ballot system, and it's something we need to reform.
But this doesn't address that.
No, it doesn't. We're trying to tackle the first step. This is a first step to a multi-taceted problem, okay? And like I said, what's important about our bill is the process in which we went to go about it. That's the same process we'll use for any of our other election reforms in the future. And so the point is let's stop any potential fraud here. And if it is being transferred to absentee ballots, if it is, let's stop it there too. We want voter integrity. We want voter integrity. We do not want people cheating and stealing elections. And we've seen people getting prosecuted all over the country recently over voter fraud. We need to be looking at all of our laws. And that's why it's important to get county auditors involved and get that kind of input so that we can tackle these problems in a common sense way and make sure that we're addressing any of these concerns.
Do you think
I can tell you that we will be looking at absentee ballots this year. Our goal is, if there is problems with it, after talking to the county auditors, we will be back here with another reform, absolutely. But again, that's going through the process and getting their input. Now, if after going through, those people who are questioning that, oh, this is going to transfer fraud to absentee ballots, if they can prove to me then that the absentee ballot system is safe, then we'll keep it the way it is. But like I said, we're going to ask them, do you like it? If so, why? If you don't, tell us why. And if you think it can be improved, tell us how. And obviously, I have some ideas myself, but I want to get their input. I don't want to poison the pool, so to speak. Let's get the input of the county auditors and the county officials, and let's move forward together. I think it's important to come together. There's a lot of partisan divide, especially on this hot topic issue. It's important that we sit down. Instead of just throwing up national talking points and saying, well, this is a bad thing, let's sit down and talk about ways that we can craft things to solve those problems and solve those concerns. That's what I did with the county auditors. If the state senate finds things that they have concerns with, let's sit down. Let's sit down and talk together. Let's bring everybody together, and let's talk about those concerns and find out how we can fix them. You know, instead of taking these partisan lines and saying, no, 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 tell me why. Tell me why not. And then let's sit down and see if there's something we can do to fix it. I think that's what's important. I think that's what Iowans want. I think that's what Americans want. And I think that shows leadership. What we did this morning is we've approved the draft that's in front of you that LSA put together. It has been forwarded on to both the House and the Senate, and it will be assigned a House file number and a Senate file number in both chambers. Yeah, that process is built for those individuals who don't fall into those categories I talked about or refuse to sign an affidavit saying that they're indigent or for a religious objection that they don't have a photo ID. In that case, then they'll have to, in those cases, as long as they have that affidavit, that ballot's going to be presumed valid. And it is kind of technical, but in the other case where they don't have an affidavit, then they must come back and prove that they are who they say they are pursuant to that bill. That portion.
If someone shows up without an ID,
they'll still be allowed to vote.
They'll be allowed to vote provisionally.
Correct.
And then that person would have to
come back to the county auditor's office and go through those steps.
And they have to prove somehow that they are, that that's a legitimate ballot.
Correct. Correct. But that's what's different. That's why we created this exception for indigent and for those with a religious objection. Their ballot's going to be automatically counted. Unless somebody says, no, that person's not indigent, and here's the evidence, and they come to the special precinct special precinct board, and in that instance, the board will make the determination whether they are or not. Not me, not the county auditors, the board of those citizens in their county who were appointed to that position. Yeah, how? Yeah, they say students vote for them and not for Republicans. Well, we made it so students can use their IDs. They say the indigent only vote for them. Well, we've made exceptions for that. Those are national talking points that are used to try and undermine voter ID and coming up with a system that provides integrity. And that's why I think this bill, will be a model for the country, because it takes care of all of those talking points and resolves those concerns.
Any idea how many people in the state don't have an ID that will have to get one?
I would be speculating. But I believe it's much less than the 11% that the Brennan Center is saying. And again, we have all these other forms. If you're indigent, you can sign an affidavit and vote provisional. If you have a religious objection, those people who have a reason not to have a photo ID, we're giving them free, we're providing these other exceptions. they'd be able to vote. Anything else? Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.